when you next saw Bill Weaver after you got out of jail.
Okay, it must have been around May 10th, and my parents had come down to Oklahoma City, and I drove back with them. And I was wondering how I had Bill's phone number in Arkansas, and I was going to have to call him to see if I could get back my purse with all my IDs in it and my jewelry that I'd left there. And he showed up just, gosh, it wasn't even half an hour after I'd been home, and he pulled up and had brought them to me. And so we talked for a little while then, and that's the first time that Bill hinted around to me that he was working for somebody else other than BBAW.
How did you get around that?
We were talking out on my porch, and we were just, we were laughing about the whole arrest and how silly the whole thing had been and all the crazy things that happened in jail and something. And Bill was laughing, and he didn't come right out to say anything. It was very subtle, something like, well, I've been playing this double game for a long time now. Something along those lines. I just kind of looked at him, you know, and I thought, well, maybe Ann's right, you know. But then he didn't go into it anymore, and he was just kind of laughing about it. But he didn't stay very long then. He came in and talked to my parents for a few minutes, met them. They'd come out to see who was there. I can't remember anything else except that was the first time he ever hinted anything of the kind. And he had to get back to Arkansas, so he didn't stay there a little while. I think he was going to go see you, wasn't he? Or did he come see you? And then he was heading for Arkansas again. But he was telling me that, well, see, he had called Mrs. Woodley in jail. He was already out, and he had called to tell Ellen and me to come on out because we were refusing bond. And he got Ellen on the phone, and then after we got out, we thought, well, that was really dumb. How did he get the call in, you know? And the marshal had handed the phone to him because the marshal had called. And Ellen didn't tell me Ellen until she got out. And she was in it there so long as I was. But Bill had called in and said to tell her that it was okay to come out now and to tell me that he wanted us both out then. And we were the last two girls left in there anyway. And there were only three other guys left in there. Tom and Randy and two of the children. Yeah, I grew up the last five to come out. And, let's see, well, Kevin got out right when I did.
Okay. Okay, we were talking about what happened after, when you saw Bill after you got out of jail. Do you have anything else to add to that?
No, I can't remember anything else, because mainly we were just talking about Kevin. Well, he asked me when my hearing was and that type of thing. And I asked him when he went back. And he said, well, I don't know, they haven't told me. And I said, well, you mean they didn't tell you? Everybody else knows when they're going back. And, no, they didn't tell me. So I guess they'll notify me in Arkansas. And then I also asked him how he'd gotten out of jail. And he told me he'd gotten out on his own recognizance. And he said, I don't want anybody to know that. And he said, didn't you get out on your own recognizance? And I said, no, I had to pay to get out. And he asked about Mrs. Woodley, and I said, no, she's still not out, because Ellen didn't have all the bail money yet. And he said something about he had talked to the judge and told the judge to let us out on OR, and I said, well, I'm sorry, the judge never mentioned it, you know, whether you talked to him or not. And by then I was afraid to ask him because I'd refused bail from him about three times already to get out. And I didn't want to ask him
But you refused bail money from him?
No, not from him. My parents had been down there and I had to go before the judges. But I think when I finally got out, it was about the fourth time I'd seen him and he'd call me in and ask me if I wanted to get out and I'd say no. I want to go back to jail. He was a little upset with me. I can't remember anything else other than that. He had told me that he got out. I know.
That was roughly the 10th. Do you remember the next time you saw him? Spoke
to him? No, I talked to him on the phone once, just a couple of days after that, because I called him to find out, you know, what he was going to do about his charges. And by then we were pretty well sure that he worked for the FBI, so I called him to find out what he was going to say. And he said he still hadn't heard from him. He said he didn't know, you know, anything that was going on. And then when the lawyers finally got together down in Norman and they found out the bill wasn't even on any, you know, either the federal judge or the federal magistrate's list to come before him. But Mike, do you remember how soon after they came back to town? Because the next time it came, wasn't that when he was leaving?
It seemed like there was quite a gap at one time, and like he just showed up, and I wasn't home, and came in about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning or something, and said, if you want to get up to Ohio, or you know, all these places that we're talking about, you know.
Yeah, and I'd been out with him earlier, and he'd asked me, and I told him, and then he was going to see you.
And he was real upset about people thinking he was a pig, and because he said something about it, and said, well, I don't care if you are or not, you know, it's not any different. You can come here anytime you want to, and he was real upset. And he was gone.
Yeah, he had talked to me about that. They said, well, what if I am? Well, you get upset. And I said, no, I don't care. And I'd tell him the same thing Mike did, you know, that's what he didn't bother me. And it kind of, I think the answer kind of surprised him. He asked me why. And I said, well, I just don't automatically think of all government people or all police or all anybody as kids. I mean, my dad was in military intelligence, you know, I mean, I'm used to, my uncle was an FBI agent, you know. So. And at the time, I wasn't thinking about entrapment or anything like that, because for myself, I knew what I was doing, you know, I was fine. But that's the time he told me he was a general. And he didn't say what time it held in, and anything like that. Yeah, that's right. He's not there.
This was just before he was getting ready to take off.
Right.
Yeah, and he had bought the new car, and he kept saying that, well, this car won't be known to the FBI yet, so it'll be safe for me to travel. And then his briefcase with him was lost. And his dog was in. I think we did, yeah, that's the night we were over at Ellen's, too. And he had gotten a couple of drawings that he'd done out of the briefcase and showed them to us. And he was even telling us about how he'd been the artist at the Cali Trial. And all kinds of stories. And oh, that's the night he told me that tale, too, about when he was in Georgia. And that people, government people, had tried to offer him in Georgia.
Yeah, it was BMI was trying to get him. He was living down the rough section of town, and like he had a crossfire going through his house. he was really mad at him and I was with him and his wife.
There's something about while he was in Georgia. He was supposed to be doing GI work, wasn't he? Is that what he told you? I'm pretty sure it's what he told me.
They had some kind of intelligence
gathering.
Yeah, right. Supposed to do it, and they were just keeping track of different things, and they were smuggling people out of the country, and it was quite an operation.
And a lot of legal type work. He said he'd been into all this time. You know, they were going to give some guy an Article 15 on something. Then they had it set up where they could find out about it. And, you know, they were supposedly helping the GIs, you know, advising them on their rights and what they could do and how they could, you know, defend themselves against charges. And he's some crazy story about how he was always wearing a Vietcong flag down there. I think it was Kate kicking around. And I thought, well, anybody that wears a Vietcong flag in Georgia's gotta be crazy. We're one in Oklahoma, you get ripped off another flag. But it was always a very trippy story, you know. The danger and adventure in Georgia, you know, that kind of story. And I just didn't really pay much attention to the whole thing. But we were saying earlier, sometimes you don't get like that, you know, just all of a sudden telling on these wild stories and just kind of tuning out half the time and smile. I was trying to think last night what kind of crazy stories you came up. I had asked him what. I remember. I don't know what was that night or when it was. I think if he had been in the service, you know, how he had gotten his mind changed around, you know, to the point where he could, you know, believe along with BJW, just left the farms in general. And he was telling me just how, like, being in the Green Berets had really tripped him out. And kind of how inhuman some of the people became because of the training. And I know one thing he always told me about BVAW was were the people that the government trained to carry out the orders and to go to Vietnam supposedly to build up democracy and all the, you know, the pat things soldiers get told. And he said, they trained us too well, and now we've come back home and seen that we don't have any of that here. So what are we doing fighting there when we should be fighting on our own territory for the things that supposedly, like, what the country was based on, the ideal. And he was mentioning that several times to me, that that people in BVAW were people who had just been trained too well, that the services had done their job too well.
The implication of that is those people might turn their skills.
Right, right.
Did you ever say that?
Yeah, one time when the time I mentioned on one of the previous tapes about the two friends of mine that turned Jesus first that we went and talked to. And then Bill really talked more about Revelation that night, I guess, than I had heard him talk before.
And what kind of about Bill? He wasn't a pastor. Right?
No, I mean, definitely not.
And this is one thing that really, you know, when I heard about the indictment before, that was Jesus Christ, it seems like he's the one that's going to be main witness. That's the way to get the whole thing thrown out of court. It's got to be a fact.
Well, Bill's speeches, when he would give speeches, were much more radical or inflammatory or whatever you want to call it than anybody else's. I mean, that was one thing that, you know, set Bill kind of apart from the other people who were talking. And what else?
the spoke of revolution, you talk about the vets using the skills that you taught in Vietnam, you know, especially.
Yeah.
What do you say about that?
Oh, just kind of general comments, you know, that's what was happening, you know, but kind of that they would just turn around and use everything they'd learned in Vietnam here to fight for home. I don't remember anything specific, but then Bill probably figured I wouldn't, if he'd talked too technical, I wouldn't have known all the terms. Because, you know, I know some general army terms and stuff of being an army brat, but when it comes to weapons and things like that, I'm kind of out of it. Yeah, I was kind of thankful.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, he talked a lot just about, you know, what I mentioned before, that BVAW preparing themselves to step in when revolution broke out, and to see that things just didn't go completely chaotic. That there were alternative systems, that's the phrase he always used when he talked about that. That there would be other things set up by BVAW when the you know, the regular systems broke down, when all the hospitals were overcrowded or they just couldn't function, and the business that went haywire and the stock market dropped out, you know, things like that. And about getting food to people when that happened. And, you know, medical care was built and so he really was concerned with it. But I know he also mentioned just getting food to people, getting supplies across country when, you know, like the trucking industry wasn't in, or the railroads were found up.
What did you see
him do? Sometime after he got back from that trip. Mike, do you remember?
It was quite a while.
Yeah.
It seemed like we were all wondering what happened then. And, I guess there's some other. Hard to remember. It showed up like that.
Yeah, I mean, Bill never called or anything. He just kind of appeared.
Seemed like. But that's the time that he called me or anything. No, that was after that
car. That was after the car. I can't even remember if he was here. He must have been in town one other time before I, you know, met him down in the shelter.
It seemed like, you know, it's just the end of it.
I can't remember anything really important that, yeah, that went on. I can't remember anything that happened. I remember talking to him on the phone several times, because, like, I know once Element I called him to find out about that money that he was supposed to have sent me. And I know we called from her shop about that. The Bill was supposed to have sent $100 over here for the paper, yeah. And I asked him about it once before, and he said he had sent it. And then it was weeks later, and no money had ever come. And I asked him again, and he said again that it had been sent. Nobody here in Coffee was receiving any money for the papers. So. Oh, he talked about a little bit about what the people in Fayetteville were doing politically and how they were backing some of the local candidates, trying to get them into office so that maybe they could get funds to support things like free clinics there in Fayetteville and things like that. Then I remember telling the lady that the guy they backed had lost. And somebody for the judge, too, over there.
Yeah, a couple of sheriffs. Yeah. Justice.
Yeah.
Did you say anything at all about his trip? Did he go to New York, or D.C., Florida, or Florida?
Well,
he
was going to... Oh, yeah, okay. When he got to Washington, they were trying to organize a big demonstration. They were going to have another big camp.
Oh, that's right. And then he was supposed to go to that demonstration in D.C.
He was there. And his wife called me and said, I get some people together, you know, and try and get a whole bunch of people to go. So we tried. And, I think I was supposed to back out or something. But we didn't care. We had several calls talking about it, and they were working on that.
Yeah, that's right, because that was that big demonstration.
Yeah, but they didn't talk.
And he was supposed to go to that. He was supposed to go to New York and see the National VVAW people. And he was, before that, he was supposed to meet somebody in Ohio. And I don't think he ever told me who he was going to meet there. And then... after New York, on to the demonstration, and then down to Florida to set up where he turned the Southern Alliance of VVAW.
You talk all about the Southern Alliance, what that was supposed to be about?
Just kind of generally, but I got the impression that they were maybe a little more militaristic minded than the rest of the VVAW people. And I know he mentioned Scott Camille and Ken Mann and John Mifflin, that they were two of the people that he was going to see. And they were going to set up kind of their own faction within VVAW. Yeah. And since they were kind of like the southern states and had their own unique problems like that the northern states didn't have, or that would be different from the western states, or New England, that they needed to be able to, you know, get in touch with each other, and that they could work more closely together than with the rest of the group.
Where did you get the impression that southern people might be more radical or more violent?
Well, from him bringing up the thing about the camp in Florida, you know.
Yeah.
I think he... Yeah, all that.
Do you remember anything more interesting about the camp?
That once they had some kind of meeting there, a regional meeting or a national meeting, and they were being threatened by the local right-wing, so it was set up in front of them. Apparently had some weapons there, which was destroyed. And I know it was one of the far-fetched ones that started the meeting, but he told them.
And he mentioned something, too, kind of that the rest of the VVAW people didn't know this meeting was going to be held, or something like that. That they really didn't exactly want the rest of the group to know what was going on until possibly later when it was all set up and operational.
Who would have this meeting with the perimeter?
This was the VVAW. It was quite a while before. It was just kind of like
he had a been there.
I don't think so. I think maybe it's a better talk to them. I'm glad we just talked to them. You know, the whole story, the way he told it, was realistic. It sounded like it was really out there with the weapons. Got it.
Well, you know, there was getting a step on the facts. Because he got really messed up the first time that he met my dad. And my father was asking me about, you know, what outfits he'd been with and that type of thing. You know, what units he'd been with, and, you know, my father would have known what he was talking about. And he mentioned a General Yarborough and said something about where he had been. And my dad said, well, I don't think that's right. And that was a long name to mention because Yarborough had been my dad's commanding officer when he was a colonel and we lived in Europe. And Daddy had kept up with where he was. because they were pretty good friends, you know, in the Army Times, and he'd keep up with where he'd been stationed and everything, and Bill had him placed all along, and Bill had just named off all these outfits he'd been with in day school. Well, he was in pretty, a lot of different units for having been in only, you know, a few years, and he kind of moved around. But Daddy didn't believe half of what he said back then. So I don't know, Bill may used to be messed up on dates or something like that. So.
Oh, do you remember saying anything about the trip after you got back?
Not really. Except when he told me about that he was going to go testify before a grand jury. And he said it's all coming out of that meeting I went to.
When did he say that? Was it right after you got back?
No. Because it must have been, you know, like when I got that letter that I gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called him, because he gave me his number there in the letter. And he talked for quite a while that night. And I asked him, I remember asking him, what are the charges, you know, conspiracy to what? What kind of charges are these? And he said, well, I don't know. He said, I testified, but he said, I don't even know what they're going to try and put on.
Did he say what he'd been asked about?
No, he just said it was all about that meeting and what had gone on in the meeting and what they discussed.
You're talking about my meeting?
This goes back to a lot of things about what they were going to do. Oh, he kept saying, don't go to
that. Yeah, that's right. He told us that about several times.
You said why not?
Because of the violence of the thing. What happened to him?
He said there was just going to be too much shit going on in that thing. It might, something like that might really get bad and people might really get hurt. Yeah. Oh, that's cute. It reminds me of, you know, when you asked about what kind of political things Bill had talked to me about, and one time he brought up something about the Venturina Brigade. And I had said something about, a year or two ago, I was really considering, you know, going. And I said, then I decided I was just too hung up with school and I just, you know, would stay put where I was. And he got really indignant, you know, really upset, and he said, have you heard what they've done? And I said, no. I said, what do you mean, what have they done, you know? And he said that the Cubans had, what was it? Oh, that homosexuals were supposed to, I see, it wasn't exactly a crime, but they were supposed to have something, you know, in these ambiguous terms, like retraining periods or something like that. Like they were going to really work on it and make them all straight, you know, sexually. And he said, that's really horrible. And you know what? You know, he was really upset because the Cubans were doing something like that. And he thought it was really fascist. And he was mad because the Venturina people had sided with the Cubans. He said they agreed with him. But I can't, you know, and he was really tricky on Taylor's life. Because he liked to think he looked like him.
Can you buy a cigarette?
Yeah.
Who is other girl?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It was really just, you know, he talked about Kay. Quite a bit.
Getting back to that after the trip, pretty much. Is there anything you can remember between the time when he told you
No, I don't think so. I think that letter was the first time I heard after that. Maybe not. Do you remember that? Because I don't. Because, like, in the letter, he says he'd been trying to get a hold of me, and that's when I was house-sitting and wasn't at my place. Oh, yeah. He told me all that on the phone, too. When I called him after I got to the house.
Why did you think somebody would offer you?
Because I've been friendly with him and hadn't freaked out my sound out of the last time.
When did he tell you?
It may have been that phone call after the letter, and if it wasn't then, it was just a few days later when he came to town. But I'm pretty sure he must have told me on the phone, because I know I asked him about why did he think people, you know, would want to come off me, you know, from what he said in the letter, something about that, worrying about me and if I was in trouble. Because he hadn't been able to get in touch with me for a few days.
So what did he say to you?
Oh, I guess I must have asked him or said, well, why don't you tell me the truth? You know, do you or do you not work for the FBI? And then whenever I had asked him, he told me the truth. And he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, you're not really an agent, are you? I said, you're just like an informant. And he said, well, I'm a little bit more than an informant, but no, I'm not an FBI agent. So then, you know, he told us that too. We talked about it, and he came to town just a day or two after I talked to him on the phone that night. And he and my family went to a restaurant here in town and talked about it.
That's where we always have to talk about.
What did you say to him that
night? We talked about
and he didn't say much about the Green Jewel thing or what was going on.
I was kind of, you know, didn't want to really talk about it. I didn't know how to do that. So I just said,
were y'all worried about his face at the FBI that night?
We wondered. Yeah, we weren't paranoid about it.
Wasn't too small to go that night, but kind of wondering why would happen that.
We wondered why, at first we were kind of, why did Bill pick us to be friends with, you know, that kind of a thing. And then we calmed down about that.
We kind of thought that, you know, things were good, bad, or fine, you know, I'm wondering if they could use it against us.
Yeah.
And that was the big thing. Really, I can't think of anything.
No. We couldn't come up with anything that really, you know, could have been harmful to us.
Going back to the drug stuff, I think, reminds me, we went out looking for some drugs. We went out looking for some drugs, but we didn't find them. That's the only time we really talked.
Did you really think that you used that for next one?
I was way far, we were all going to have a good time for it.
How would you go to use it? We talk about drugs at all?
That was the only time that I ever
remember. I don't remember us ever talking about drugs except the couple of times I asked him about drugs. If he used them. You know, I meant, I didn't mean, you know, smoking dope or taking this one. I meant, you know, like barbiturates or something that you could get addicted to was what I was asking about. And he would just laugh and say no. But I don't remember even ever talking about just sitting there and smoking dope with him or anything like that.
Do you remember any more about this cafeteria conversation?
There was every time it seems to be terrible.
You can't break it, really. You know, and we'd ask him, well, do you know, have you heard anything about, or, you know, because Bill would get papers, or he'd get BBAW news, and that Tulsa's a cultural center of the world, anyway. And trying to get political news here in town is just, we just grab anybody from out of town to ask them things.
Who? Now let's see. Where are we now? This was before he went to the green jury, but after the green jury, and around the time of his wedding. That's right.
Yeah, wasn't he on it today?
On his way with.
On the green jury?
Yeah, but this is the last year, so.
And he was going to get ready to leave.
Did he tell you he was going to get ready to leave?
Yeah, and that's the letter says that, too.
Well, did y'all ask him what the grand jury was about or anything?
No. They had the idea. I think he said that there was about people that were inviting some people that were in the meeting. He said something about it then, that he tried to talk to people about it, the religious plan or something, that, you know, just to go away and hide. And that's what he said to me.
What did you think about that?
I didn't know. There was no, you know, I took up the phone and called someone, but I didn't know who to call.
No one's glad to talk to us.
Okay, on this letter now, there's some questions I have about that. It starts out by saying, the first sentence roughly, well, I didn't get this, but I was turned around the night I left at Amarillo. What's that mean?
Okay,
Then we knew then that he worked for the FBI.
Yeah.
That's right, because the letter says.
How did you submit it? That was the one that called me early in the morning. And after that, they called me for yesterday, last week.
Are you sure? What's the postmark on the letter? What day?
July 10th.
No, because.
He didn't have that. Somebody had brought it here, and he called me when I met him down at Coffee Bean. And I told him I got out of class, so we met at the library.
That's right, that's when you were talking about him.
Yeah, and we got together and tried to find him questions for it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he didn't want to say his questions with that. And he left all of his followers, and he had a whole bag for us. Keep all the backpacks in there. I took them out of the car. And this is, I told you that I didn't think he'd get left out, but I still don't think he left town. It seems like he told me later that he never even left town. Maybe I just assumed.
When was it? Where was he going to be?
He was, this is when he was cutting out away from the whole thing. He was getting away from the FBI.
Before the grand jury?
This is the way
we were talking
about, yeah. Because
even in the letter, he hasn't gone to the grand jury yet.
And the FBI was messing around with him. He was really turned out.
And they hadn't gotten any money from him.
Yeah, he was going to Colorado to the roster.
Yeah, okay.
Went to the roster. And he cut out. Was that you talking about the other one talking?
I don't know. I can't remember if he said, well, I know it started raining that day.
Yeah.
After you left me. And I can't remember whether he said that he went as far as Oklahoma City and then came back, or whether Carrie went at 5, I don't remember.
It seems like, you know, the way it works, so the reason is that, you know, 5 is out, but the government, you know, so there's never been a lot. Yeah, that one, that stuff is good for, getting time to get away. And everybody else was out of that.
Who else do you think it is?
Well, I thought the people in Norman were really mad at him. Because I had talked to Randy and Tom, and they had asked me if, when I saw Bill again, this was one of the defendants came. You know, when I asked him to come down there and talk to them, which I did, and he wouldn't go, and he wouldn't talk to him. And after that, he didn't want to see Ellen anymore, or anybody but my family. We were really the only two people he couldn't talk to. No.
We were in front of that. We were. We had to be there.
Because in Oklahoma City, I was instructed to come back in. He said I'd get back to Tulsa. You know what that means? Instructed to
come back in. Yeah, that's it. That's it. And he got as far as Oklahoma City. That's right, because he was going to call them about his money. Because he was really ripped off because they hadn't gotten any money. And he had tried to call here in town, and they told him there was going to be a delay. And he said, something about, either they take care of me or they can just forget it and I'll just never be seen again, something like that.
I don't think
it
really
works. Oh, at that point, I don't think it did either. That's fair enough. Well, I remember one thing he told me too was that, he said, they don't really know what I'm going to say when I get up on the stand, but I can say anything I want to, and they can't keep me quiet then. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And I asked him, I said, are you going to get up there and then, you know, take up the VBAW and, you know, just screw their case all up, you know? He said, well, I'm thinking about it, and I just can't do that. And, you know, I didn't know Bill well enough to really know whether he'd do that or not, you know. And like I remember telling my sister that, and my sister just laughed and she said, no, he won't. That he'll do whatever he thinks will give him a father or something. My sister, and she just met him a couple of times, but she was, I don't know, Ellen just really didn't want him. My sister's name is Ellen too, not Mr. Bill.
Here, all hell broke loose yesterday in Delaware Channel, and I no longer have control of my movement about me.
This is a thing I was referring to when they
When they first restricted me, because he didn't have restrictions before that. Because he had told me several times that they had told him they didn't particularly want him coming here to Oklahoma from Arkansas for the tinker demonstration. But they had just said something like, well, if we don't know where you are, then, you know. And so he just came out. And Bill always maintained that he did not try to impact anybody else.
What about restrictions? You were talking about restrictions?
Well, after that he did, because, after that the FBI didn't know he was calling me. Or he didn't want them to know that he was calling me or mine.
Use the word restrictions and the beginning of the draft of restrictions you have.
But who's in a hotel? And in a way, they were watching the girls who spoke that, but they were the ancient class of business. They were just,
And he said he hadn't been able to call for a while.
He couldn't even leave the building for a while because they came in clear.
Yeah, they brought everything in. He wasn't to be seen outside. And, he was using different names. Well, when he came that one time, was that when he was on the way to Colorado? One time he was here in town and stayed in a motel. And I was supposed to call him, and I tried to call out there, and he was using a different name.
Yeah.
And that's when that Mary called me. And she, yeah, because that was really late at night. Because my dad grabbed the phone, I was fighting for the phone, and this girl hollered at me something about... Yes, Mary called from Arkansas, but Bill was here in town and hollered at me to call Bill, you know, at such and such, quality in such and such a room. And I tried to call, and they wouldn't put me through. They said, well, who are you calling? And I said, Bill Lemon. They said, there's nobody here under that name. And I didn't know what to do then, you know, so I called back again, and I knew he used the name Bill Hughes. And I would try and call, and I'd call, and I asked for Bill Hughes, or it wasn't even Bill Hughes either, you know, so I just couldn't get a hold of him at all. He did go in through the club at night, and he said, just wasn't going to put me through unless I had the right name.
And when was this
even
occupied? Yeah,
it was
before.
Yeah, it was right after this letter. That's right, because he was leaving for the grand jury the next day, and he wanted the clothes put to him, and we knew we couldn't get to the bus station in time. That was the deal. That was the night then that I got the letter and called him, and then I called you after that and said he wanted his clothes, and that's what the letter says, to get his clothes.
He talked to you between different times.
Yes, that's when
he
wanted
you to get
back.
Oh, really? Yeah. His first name's Dan, I know that. I just can't call him for me.
Well, it's the younger
brother. Yeah, that's right.
So what, you have the ice?
No,
not
that.
You
said he's going to be named during the next day.
Shortly after that, he was all around his clothes. Are you next step? Is that after the end came back when I moved to Arkansas? It must have been, because I know he was going to the grand jury, and that's why it was closed. He wanted to... No. So it must have been after the grand jury when he came back. And wanted me to go to Arkansas. That was done.
Done. Well, until you get the clothes if you want to do something with that.
That was, that's all we're messed up.
We're messed up. We're trying to get this straight.
Yeah, okay. We came back this
month. After the grand jury.
Right.
Right.
And this is, we got the clothes and we're stripped and go back. Right. Now we can't
go. The rest came down and didn't, because Don got to my parents too, because Don took me to the house first by
right.
Himself. And then Bill came over later, and my dad asked me to have Don come in, and Daddy asked him what he knew about Bill. And Don said not really that much, and Don apparently is not really into politics, he's just into the drug rehab thing, and he never even really talked that much to Gil about any kind of politics. They were working on the medical stuff together. That's how he and Gil got
together. Did Gil tell your dad you wanted to come out?
Yeah. Well, he was just asking John, you know. And then asking Gil for the story about the agent wanted to talk to me. Then, you know, he kept changing his story. He finally started into me where it was my father. So. But they talked for a long time, and I left after a while. I sat on the front porch too. Bill would get ready to leave, and then he'd say something else, and then they'd talk for 15 minutes more, and that became almost over.
Did you
talk to him? And so it didn't look like staying there either.
Doesn't he love you? Do you believe it? Do you believe in it?
I think Jill believes it. I don't believe it. I think he does. I don't know. I think the thing with his wife has just been, you know, kind of sour for quite a long time from what I've heard from the people in Arkansas and the few things he's telling, and he didn't even want to talk about it. But, you know, Bill kept saying, I think he says in the letter, I'm not sure, but, you know, that he just thought he couldn't go through it all alone. And I think he just wanted somebody so bad, you know, to go through it with him. And I was the only woman he knew, I guess, that wasn't ripped off at him. And Bill kept, you know, telling me, you know, that I was the strong type of person that he needed, and I just laughed, and I said, well, I think you're mistaken. I think I'm not strong, but he seemed to think I was. Oh, I don't know, like, you know, I could stay together under pressure, and I wasn't much like the housewife type, you know, that sort of thing.
Did you call him with this number that you gave?
Yeah.
Is it an Arkansas number?
I don't really know. When you look at the air, I used this great card when it called. I was half there and I didn't know enough along the same time. The people phone. And when I called him, I told him, you know, first thing I said, this is on your phone bill. If you want me to pay for it, you have to send me the bill. And he said, no, I don't know. But he talked a long time, isn't it? Yeah.
I believe
so. It's the same sort of thing as other conversations earlier. He was confused about taking the thing. I really don't think he had made up his mind, you know, how he was going to testify at that point. But he was, you know, scared of dating. So, I mean, Bill always say how nice the FBI are to him and, you know, how friendly they are and that type of thing. But you can tell that he's really kind of scared of them, too. Not anything specific. You can just tell that he thinks it'd be a dumb deal to cross him. That as long as you were doing what was expected of you, everything was fine. You know, it wouldn't even happen.
You know, maybe kind of maybe the trouble is a little correct. The FBI gave you things that he said, you know, if I do such and such this month after me,
not really, just when he would talk about skipping out of the whole thing altogether, And he'd talk about, you know, he'd have the whole FBI looking for him, and God knows what had happened to him. And he would, you know, quite a few times he'd say, I just don't know if I'm going to survive this whole time. And he said that night he tried to talk to him and going to Arkansas. It was when the, you know, main chance he was playing. He was talking about somebody often, either side, you know, no particular side, but, you know, the one that he went against, that he was caught in the middle, and no matter which way he came, there was going to be somebody, you know, bad enough to off him. Well, if it just keeps on this way, I just don't know if I can take it. Something that I'll just save everybody with trouble. Over at my house, they were trying to talk to me to go to Arkansas. I should talk to my friends. And I had walked out to the car with him, and Don was just taking the car. He was standing outside, still talking, and he was still trying to talk to me to go to Arkansas. No, that's the only time you ever seen him like that. And I said something like, I won't be ridiculous, you know. And then he said, well, you know, if it wasn't just me, if I weren't alone, I could handle it. He said, it wouldn't bother me. He said, that's why I need you to go with me. And I said, yeah, I can't. And I tried to tell him. But, well, he even said something like, that would be placing an awful burden on you. And I said, well, it really would, you know, to feel responsible for your, you know, mental welfare, you know, is a bit much, you know, for anybody to take on. And I said, it's not that I just don't want to do it or want to, something like that. I said, I just, you know, got my own things to work out right now. It was a really bad time for you to ask me something like that. And he said, yeah, I know, but I understand. And he wasn't mad at anything about it, because I wouldn't go to Arkansas with him. He was just, he was upset about it, but he wasn't angry. I've seen him get angry about things. He wasn't bad thinking, I'm just mad. But he's never gotten angry at me. I seem to get mad about things, you know.
Well, I
know. No, I'm getting mad. That's the only time he ever mentioned it to me. And it was when I wanted to kill myself, you know. Get myself in there. I'll say two for the brother. Bill may have called me once or twice in the summer.
That's when you were in the car with him?
Yeah, we had an accident.
When did you remember that?
I think it was July 24th. Was it 24th or 26th? Three of us. Bill was driving, and I was in the passenger seat in the front, and Scott Tate was in the back. And Bill had just picked us up and saved us. And we hadn't been driving very long, because it happened outside. We just started in the car. Very fine. Well, Bill had been driving really fast, too, because we'd gotten stopped by Highway Patrol. And Bill didn't see him, and he, you know, he was, you know, the roads were really kind of deserted, and he wanted to turn off a new car, you know. he was going really fast. And I had to tell him that I wanted to slow down because I was in a car wreck a few years ago and it just really freaked me out, and I don't like to go fast in cars that drive crazy. I mean, I just get really paranoid. So, but then he hadn't even been going fast at all. So I saw him not more than 5 minutes when the highway patrol pulled us over. And so Bill talked to him, the guy just stood in there and said, well, okay, just slow it down, you know, and he didn't get us a ticket. So Bill did, and we weren't speeding at all when we had the accident. And some people were riding their horses on the side of the road, and it was about 11:30 at night, and it was pitch dark, and these twisty, country roads out there. And Bill saw the horses, and he slowed down the tires, and then, like I said, then he wasn't speeding at all. And the only thing I remember was Bill dancing and slowed the car even more. And then that was it, you know, because your poor spirit and just hit our car and hit my side of the car and slowed down the road and knocked me out immediately. And the rider of the horse was thrown out. So, and he got a broken shoulder from when he hit the ground, but it wasn't from the car hitting him. That's all. And like, you know, like he was got coated in the top and then got in the car, and then first we were just saying, oh hi, you know, and you know, how are you messing up and then he and Scott, I never could figure it out because, you know, I just got this feeling when I was sitting there, I was really out of it, you know, that something was going on that I really didn't understand what was happening. And they were kind of joking back and forth, and it was like an in-joke and I was on the outside.